can't thank you enough for coming out and being a part of these Wednesday night Lenten services. It's just such an honor to be able to spend some extended time in worship with all of you, and to be able to sit under the wisdom of some of our church members who just have demonstrated such faithfulness in their walks as well. I tell you this, if you've been here on other Wednesday nights, that we've kind of reserved these Lenten Wednesdays to invite people up to the pulpit who, generally speaking, are just sitting out in the seats where you're all sitting this evening. But tonight is a little bit of an exception to that, because the woman who's going to come and share with you tonight has probably only been in this room a handful of times, yet she's been engaged with celebration, she and her husband, for almost 10 years or so. Cliff and Susan like to refer to themselves as remote Celebration Church people. I like that because we are in the age of everything being remote. but I would say, I don't know, Susan, in the last 5 years maybe, that the Lord has kind of drawn a connection between you and I. They have been connected to the church for so much longer than that, but Susan and I kind of started a relationship together maybe about 5 years ago, I don't know for sure. And I've just had so many opportunities to glean from her wisdom, to share burdens of my heart and my life, and how she has prayed for me, she has prayed for my husband, my family, my kids. She's prayed for this church. I've had the honor of doing the same for her as well. But I'm just so delighted that she and Cliff made the trip up. They are from Illinois. But love her anyway. She's going to redeem the state to all of you, my friends. And I know that you'll just be blessed, so please welcome Susan Geschke.
I love what God is doing here at Celebration. And I'm so excited to be here today and share with you some of the things that God has been showing me. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, what a joy, what a privilege it is to be here today. And Lord, you're the one who made it possible. I thank you, I praise you for who you are and for all that Jesus is. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to hear from you. Have your way in our hearts and our minds, and be glorified. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I watched the Sugar Bowl game this year. Did any of you catch it by any chance? The Fighting Irish against the Bulldogs. Jaden Harrison, wide receiver for Notre Dame, returned the opening kick of the second half. And it's absolutely stunning to watch. He caught the ball, and then he took off on a beautiful run of 98 yards for a touchdown. And he just kept going and going and going. Amazing. He maneuvered around a mess of Bulldog defenders and outran every single one of them to reach the end zone. And the closer he got to the finish line, the longer his strides became. He pushed even harder with the goal in sight. And I don't know about you, but I want to be someone like that. I want to keep going. I don't want to slow down. I don't want to flame out. And I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I want to be the kind of person that God looks at and says, just look at that girl. Look at Susan run. She's not slowing down. Man, the closer she gets to the finish line, the harder she runs. And I can't wait for that final leap when she flies into my arms. Someday, that's what I want to hear from Jesus' lips. And when things are going really well in my life, it's not too hard to live with that kind of energy and excitement. But what do you do when things aren't going well? Today I want to talk about something that I think matters a whole heck of a lot, and it's this. What do you do when your world collapses? What do you do when you've prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing changes and all you hear is crickets? How do you keep going? A couple years ago, my husband Cliff experienced some chest pain and ended up in the hospital. And after a lot of tests, the doctor announced, Cliff has several blocked arteries and needs a valve replacement. This is a widowmaker situation. He needs to have surgery this week. Well, after a few more tests, he changed that to, I have him scheduled for surgery in 8 weeks. And I remember my heart started pounding and my thoughts were swirling, and I said, widowmaker, 8 weeks? Is it safe to wait that long? You know, big storms can roll in fast, just like that. And suddenly, those beautiful blue skies can turn dark. So what do you do when you're in God's waiting room? What do you do when it all comes crashing down? And I think this matters a whole heck of a lot, because we all are either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to enter one. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And there are times when our enemy, Satan, will throw everything he's got at you to try to knock you down. So you need to be prepared for it. Now, how do you get prepared for it? Well, you have to do it ahead of time. Like football, you don't just go out there. You line up, you practice, you lift weights, you run, you get yourself ready. And that's what we all need to do. Jaden Harrison didn't just wake up one morning and run 98 yards to a touchdown. So the question becomes then, how do we do this? The most powerful thing you can do is learn to run to God. Run now, not as a last resort, but as your first response. Give it all to God and then watch what he does. Now for me, it was that widowmaker thought. It kept barging into my thoughts. I like short Bible verses because I can remember them in a crisis. The problem I have, and you may have also, is that when a crisis hits, my life is spinning out of control, my Bible is usually at home. And that's why you need to memorize Scripture, so God can bring these verses, his precious word, to your mind and speak to you directly and personally. And God brought just the right verse to my mind, and it was just what I needed to hear. It's one of my favorite verses from Job, of all things. And it says, God is gently calling you from the jaws of distress. He is gently calling you from the jaws of distress. What a picture, huh? So let me ask you, is there something chewing on you right now? Is there something eating you up, some fear, some problem, and it just keeps gnawing and gnawing and gnawing away at you? If that's what's going on, you are in the jaws of distress. And you have a choice. You can either panic or you can pray. And in the middle of your storm, remember, God is gently calling you. He's saying, come over here. Come to me. Jesus put it this way. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Just imagine, the creator of the universe wants to walk with you in the midst of your chaos and give you rest. The Bible says in another place, in 2 Timothy, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. God wants to give you strength for today and hope for tomorrow. So let me encourage you. Take a fistful of that courage. Preach that to yourself. Did you know that you can preach to yourself? So when the fear was welling up inside of me, that widowmaker thought, I reminded myself who Jesus is. I remembered his attributes, and I preached them to myself. I said, Jesus, you are good. Jesus, you are faithful. You are kind. You are all-powerful. And nothing is impossible for you. And then I claimed his promises, beautiful truths that rise up and encourage us right in God's word. I said, Jesus, you said that you'll never leave me or forsake me. Jesus, I cast all my anxiety on you because you care for me. Jesus, your plans are for my good and not my disaster. Jesus, you've promised that nothing can separate me from your love. Where would we be without Jesus? And you know what happened when I claimed these promises? It got my focus off the crisis, off the problems, and onto Jesus. It gave me a new perspective, and I felt a sense of peace in the chaos. But let me get real honest with you. There were times when I knew what I should do. I knew I should run to God, but it was so hard. There were times when my spiritual tank was running on empty. And I'll tell you what I did. I created a gratitude album on my phone. Pictures of the blessings in my life. Pictures that allowed me to revisit a special moment and savor those memories. Remind me of the beautiful people and the beautiful things that God has brought into my life. When I got the news that Cliff had to have open heart surgery, I decided very intentionally, I'm going to worship my way through this battle. I'm going to raise a hallelujah in the middle of my storm. And I want to thank the band again for singing that song today. And I would bring my album up on my phone, and I would let my eyes wander over every pixel, and then I would give thanks. They were visual reminders of the incredible blessings that God has showered on me. So when the widowmaker thought would creep in my mind, I'd pull out my phone, and picture one, please. And I'd look at a picture, and I'd say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my wonderful husband. Next. Thank you, Jesus, for your beautiful creation. Next. Thank you, Jesus, for my family and our time together. Next. This was a costume party celebrating a 100th birthday for a dear lady. And say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that the surgery was delayed because that allowed us to actually attend her birthday party. Next. Thank you, Jesus, for this funny little guy. He wanted to go too. Next. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to me. And I discovered that thankfulness can propel me forward. It can keep me running strong. Gratitude is a superpower. It changes everything. It energizes you and strengthens you. Now, how does that happen? Well, every time I let my eyes travel over a picture like that one, I found myself smiling. I mean, how can you look at that picture and not smile? The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So, how do we unleash this? The key is to refocus your thoughts, because whatever you focus on is what you will move toward. Let me say that again. Whatever you focus on is what you will move toward. The gratitude album is a really powerful way to shift your focus off your problem and onto the blessings that God has poured into your life. So let me encourage you, use this superpower, learn to use it, and learn to use it now. Start now to fill up on gratitude fuel, and it will power you through the tough times. And the beautiful thing about that is when you choose to give thanks, when you choose joy in the middle of your storm, God's power is on display to the watching world around you. Now, returning to Jaden Harrison and his beautiful 98-yard run, he was flanked by a mess of blockers on his team, and they were key to his running success and making it to the end zone. He could not have done it without them. His teammates protected him, and their presence encouraged him. When he saw them or sensed them running close by, and you can actually see this in the video, it's there, just Google it, you can see how he turned on the speed and ran faster the closer he got to that goal. You know, like Jaden, we all need friends to walk or run beside us if we want to finish well. You need godly friends to help fill up your spiritual tank. If you're in the jaws of distress, and I feel some of you must be, you need other people. You need a support group, mature Christian brothers and sisters who will love you, care for you, encourage you, and most of all, pray for you. You need people who will gently steer you back to Jesus when you feel like life has sucked the life out of you and you're running on empty. Now, maybe you might be thinking, now, wait a minute. Don't I need to pray first in a crisis? Well, yes, that's great if you can. But the truth is, in a crisis, you're often in so much shock and distress that so much of what you know goes right out the window. Your angst will block everything. That's when you really need other people to surround you and pray for you. You need godly friends to say, I'll pray for you. I'll believe for you. I'll be there for you no matter what. When Cliff finally had the open heart surgery, it was a very long surgery. It was over 6 hours. My son, Paul, drove the long way home from the hospital, and I spent my time texting my prayer warriors that the surgery had gone well, and I thanked them for their prayers. Well, it was dark when we finally got home. I walked into the kitchen. I kicked off my shoes. The phone rang. It was his surgeon. We have to take your husband back to the OR. There's a problem. I fell to my knees and I cried out, oh God, save him, save him. Oh God, just save him. And I kept repeating that over and over. That's all I could say. It's, oh God, save him. And then I remembered my precious prayer warriors, and I texted them again, and I said, Cliff is back in the OR. Something's gone wrong. Within a minute or two, my phone rang again. It was Becky. And she spoke a beautiful prayer of healing and of comfort. And you know, I have to say, in a split second, everything shifted. And we were kneeling together in God's throne room. Nothing had changed. Cliff was still in the OR, and I still didn't know if he was okay, but my perspective had shifted. and I felt a sense of peace. It's truly amazing. That, my friends, is the power of prayer. That is the power of a godly friend praying for you. We are not meant to go through life alone. The Bible says, be devoted to one another. It's found in Romans. God is first and foremost where we should turn for our support. There's no substitute for God. But he also understands that there are times when we need someone to wrap their arms around us, to weep with us, or maybe just to sit with us and not say anything at all. You know, one of the ways that God cares for us is by placing godly people in our lives. They are his provision for us. Have you ever thought of friends that way, as God's provision? If you have a group of godly friends who can share in your struggle, bravo! I'm so happy for you. Continue to walk in love with them. But maybe you're thinking, I don't have any godly friends. If that's you, I would really encourage you to find some people to join you on your spiritual journey. Join a Bible study, a small group, or volunteer in the church. Find people who love God and build relationships with them. And when you go through hard times, you'll find yourself held up by those same people. It will change your life. Oh, my friends, keep running your race. Is it going to be easy? No, it will not. And maybe you're just walking or maybe even limping right now. Just keep going. As fast as your legs will carry you, Jesus is waiting for you. He's standing at the edge of eternity, calling your name. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for your glorious presence in our lives. When we're in the jaws of distress, help us to run to you first. Lord, help us to worship our way through life. Raise a hallelujah in the middle of our storm and live with a thankful heart. Lord, help us to get around godly friends who can encourage us and pray for us. May we ever walk closer to you, Lord, and keep going. We want to keep running our race, and we want to finish well. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, and it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Such a great word. Thank you, Susan. You know, we tell you this each week, but I just feel like at this moment it's such a good moment to remind you all as we leave on Wednesday nights. You all know that we have the soup. You can smell it as you walk in the building. But I do want to remind you that at each of the tables, we do set out some questions that each of our speakers kind of cultivates off of their messages, just those points for us to spend a little bit of time reflecting on. Because what we don't want to do is just be people who are hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. So I really do encourage you, take that opportunity to cultivate a friendship, a relationship, talk about the points that were made this evening, and just know that God will continue to use the message and the things that we hear and put them into a good work in our lives. I do want to say, Susan, wasn't it kind of fun that the last song was Firm Foundation? So Susan did reach out some time ago and said, hey, do you think the band could play Raise a Hallelujah? And I said, well, I'll check with them. And when I asked them, they were like, yes, of course, we'll put it in. But that was the song that she requested coming off of her message, knowing what she was going to preach about. So I just love how the Spirit had it all tied together for her tonight. Thank you, as always, for being here. When you do leave tonight, just a reminder, if you have young kids, preschoolers or grade schoolers, we ask you to pick them up before you enjoy soup. And as always, we're just going to ask you to kind of let our youth kind of have their space. You will see them come charging down when they're done, but they finish at about 8 o'clock. But we do want to just let them be able to do their time and have their groups on that end. So I'm going to pray for our food, and then I'm going to let you go. Lord, I thank you so very much for this evening. I thank you for Susan and the message that she had for us. I thank you, God, for how you are faithfully moving in her life and how she desires to continue to share that faithfulness with others. I thank you for the food that is out in the lobby. I thank you for all of those who prepared it. I pray that you would bless those hands, and Lord, that you would be blessed by our time and conversation in building a relationship with each other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for being here, everybody. Enjoy your soup, and we will see you on Sunday.